Yeah, how much are you paying for gas? $3.19 is where I was yesterday, I guess. $3.19, that's up about a dollar in the last 4 or 5 months. Up a dollar per gallon. And that starts to add up quickly now, doesn't it? Starts to add up a lot. I've got good news for those of you hoping to move to Mars and have children. It's kind of a big deal. A new scientific study found that humans will be able to reproduce on Mars. Our sperm can survive there for 200 years. Isn't that exciting? I can have a child when I'm 250 years old. Wow, who knew? Steve, you go, man. Scientists previously believed that radiation in space could damage our DNA and render procreation impossible. Despite the exciting breakthrough, there are still many questions. How would it be possible for humans to have sex in the planet's microgravity? They'll figure it out. They always have. Just saying. Let's see. The development came when scientists housed mouse sperm. Who thinks of this? Hey, you know, we should put some mouse sperm on the International Space Station, see how long it can last. Well, they did that. They did that. They had 66 mice put sperm in 30 glass vials. I wonder what kind of magazines they handed the mice. Hey, would you look at this? And there's your vial over there. It happened in 2012. Scientists working on the experiment chose the best ones to produce offspring. Hey, he's pretty burly. She's cute. Let's get them together. Yeah, there you go. Freeze-dried samples of 12 mice were also shipped to the International Space Station August the 4th, 2013. Identical samples kept on the ground in Japan in conditions to mimic that of space. The scientists shipped back some samples from space 9 months into the study to see if it was working correctly, which, by the way, it was. The mouse sperm was doing fine, thank you very much. A second batch returned to Earth 2 years and 9 months after being launched. The final batch returned June 3rd, 2019, a whole 5 years, 9 months after leaving the planet, making this study the longest biological experiment in the history of the International Space Station. And it all involved my mouse sperm. And you could have great-grandkids running around on Mars, or floating about on Mars, or however the heck that works, right? There you go. They thought that radiation would kill the sperm. It did not. Thought it would break the DNA. It did not. Good news, you're good to go. You're good to go. Yeah. By the way, for the first time, a member of the Bush family, back to something more serious now, the Bush family has said that Donald Trump is the future of the Republican Party. George P. Bush, George Prescott Bush, a candidate for the Texas Attorney General job, said President Trump is the future of the Republican Party, carving his path toward trying to unseat incumbent Attorney General Ken Paxton, a fellow Republican. President Trump is the future of the party. We need to carry on the successes that we've had this past November in our state, helping to elect new down-ballot candidates and carry on this legacy, he said with John Solomon on a podcast. Pretty fascinating, really. Bush is now the Texas Land Commissioner, the son of the former Republican Governor Jeb Bush, and the only member of the Bush political family, which includes former Presidents George H.W., son George W., to openly support the former president. In fact, George W. Bush and other members of the Bush family made it clear they didn't vote for Donald Trump. They voted other in both elections. Whether Trump will back Bush is uncertain, considering Paxton has been among the former president's most public, prolific, and loyal supporters. We'll see where this all goes, but it's important. Bush said Monday that he makes the argument all the time to family members that Trump is the life of the Republican Party. He brought the new sense of energy. When you look at my policies, I'm all about America first. Trump is the center of the Republican Party. Bush said on Fox News June 9th, I am my own man. I support him. We need to carry on that legacy and capture the lightning he brought to the Republican Party, the energy he brought to the Republican Party. Meanwhile, in Texas, they're having an energy problem, if you haven't heard. They have a shortage of energy. Again, there's a heat wave coming through Texas. Phoenix could hit 119. A roaring heat wave coming through the southwestern United States. And Texas is asking for people to turn down their air conditioners, to not use too much electricity through the end of the week. Because once again, the most energy-rich state in America is short on the juice it needs. Does that even make sense? How does that even make sense? Texas, all the energy in the world. And yet, they built windmills and solar panels and such. They went for green energy. They sidestepped what they had and went for green energy. And as a result, well, they're short. And so people are going to bake in that Texas heat. They're just going to bake in the Texas heat. But it's a dry heat, Steve. It's a dry heat. Yeah, so is an oven. An oven is dry heat. You want to sit in there for a while? Just 120 degrees, 125. It'll be fine. You'll love it. I always like that. So, well, it's a dry heat. Yeah, okay. Go with that. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? Yeah. At any rate, have you seen this pressure campaign? I'll talk more about this later because this is an unprecedented push. A big pressure campaign to get Stephen Breyer to resign his seat on the United States Supreme Court. I think it's irritating the guy. I'm no expert on Stephen Breyer. He's the liberal. The liberals want him out so they can put a new liberal in his place that's like half his age. That's what they're hoping for. Stephen Breyer is 82, and he's like, nah, I'm not going anywhere. Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell says if he has control of the Senate again, no nominee put up by Joe Biden will get his blessing. None. None at all. Unless Mitch McConnell approves of the choice, which point he might consider, but no. The battle continues to be over the nine folks in the black robes. That battle continues, but this pressure campaign really is unprecedented. Members of the Democrat Party openly pushing for Stephen Breyer to resign so they can have control of that seat. He doesn't seem inclined to do that. And my guess is every time he hears AOC or Rashida Tlaib or somebody else make that comment, he digs his heels in just a little bit deeper. Something to consider. I'm going to take a quick break now. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.